Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Slash and dash!
Oh, that sounded very like 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
We're the Slash and Dash gang.
You can be one of us.
Yeah.
For £5. Okay. So this is De Vernon LeGrand. Have you heard of him?
No.
There's not a lot of information about him. There's probably about enough, but there's not a lot. I think partly because he was black and a lot of the people killed were black. And it's kind of like one of those things where it's just not fair. Like, they don't look into it as much because it's not seen as important by the media, even though
A
crazy story. So, born in 1925, he moved to New York, age 12, with his parents. He was pretty intelligent. He got a doctorate in psychology and theology. So he was a PhD doctor. And his criminal record started when
Particularly impressive for, like, what, the 30s, early 40s?
Yeah. So his first crimes weren't until when he was in his 40s. And he was caught for kidnap, assault, and firearms possession. Then in 1968, he was accused of snatching and raping a 23-year-old woman. And the same year, he and his 20-year-old son were convicted of rape and kidnapping.
Together?
Yeah, working together.
Have we ever had a father-son rape team?
Don't think so.
I think my tone made that sound more excited than... Have we ever... Sorry, let me rephrase. Have we ever had a father-son criminal team?
I don't know if we have. But, so the son got less time. He got between 5 and 15 years. I can't remember how much exactly he served. But the weird thing about this, and the most surprising thing... I mean, it's surprising that he did it with his son. But he was also... the leader of a church.
Ooh.
So he set up his own Pentecostal church, and his church was based in Brooklyn, in New York, and he had 11 nuns, and they lived there at the church, but it was all cagey, like, so cagey. He was actually ordained. But I think anyone can get ordained in America, can't they?
Don't know. So like, was it one of those where he was like telling them, like, this is how I want to fill you with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. He was.
The Holy Spirit's favorite form is that of cum.
It's
gooey, it's white, ectoplasm.
It's
a miracle.
He was basically going, he's approaching teenagers who were probably not very well off, and then he had a fair bit of money, so he was driving around in nice cars and things, and he would invite them round to his weird cult like building, give them alcohol, give them drugs, have sex with them, and then they'd get pregnant, and then he'd say, right, so you've got to join my church, otherwise I'm going to kick you out in the street. And what you've got to do every day is go out begging and make money for the church.
I wonder how he sold that to them, that, oh, I'm a Pentecostal preacher, I want you to join my church, and we also have alcohol and drugs here.
I think he was just approaching really vulnerable people who, like, I don't know, were kicked out of home, had nowhere to live, that kind of thing. He would just sort of and he had like a nice car. He seemed quite flashy. So really, really groomy, really grim.
I mean, I think we would have stayed in the Salvation Army a lot longer if they'd have plied us with alcohol. Yeah,
they'd be like, Friday night, guys. Here's like the youth group. It wouldn't just be, what do we do? Sit around and watch a film?
We had toast if we were looking.
Yeah.
Toast was like,
oh my
a major
God, the
deal.
Toast came out. Yeah. If it had been like, let's all get wasted.
I just downed a whole 2 liter bottle of Coke and I'm buzzing.
So, yeah, so, but then like, they were having his kids. So he had 11 nuns and their 47 children living. And that was
47 children.
That's like 4 kids each.
That's like, have you been watching, I only watched it the other day, Mrs. Wilson on BBC.
Oh, it's good.
So, quick synopsis. It's based on a true story. And the actress who plays Mrs. Wilson, it's her, she's playing her own grandmother in real life. And it's about the life of this guy, Alexander Wilson, who was a novelist. He wrote spy novels. And it's also suspected that he was a spy. But it's not real. So anyway, he dies. And then they start finding out about his life. And it's never clear, and they still don't know now whether he definitely was working undercover or whether he was just a con man, but he had at least 4 bigamous wives and like all these kids.
Whoa.
And like now the family have like get together and have weird little reunions, but he's just had loads of kids all over the place. Yeah. But and he'd be like, oh, I had this wife. He was telling people that he was having to have these wives as like part of his new undercover things, but MI5 are saying we can't release anything about whether he is or isn't, or wasn't. So it's just like, well, who knows what he was doing.
Yeah. Well, he was, I think that he was pimping these women out as well and things like that, but he was getting them to go out and beg and make money every day, and they were lying about what they were getting money for. They were saying it was for an orphanage. I mean, I guess effectively it sort of
it
was.
Is. So he's just spawning his own army of minions.
Yeah, yeah. And getting them to go out and make money. And he was getting shitloads of money.
He was like Fagin.
Yeah. So he had his nuns who would be recognisable in their black robes. And they'd go out and sort of go around Grand Central Station. And I looked online. And a lot of people said that they'd seen them about and about. And that they were pretty common to run past. And he also bought 58 acres of land with the money that he was making, near White Sulphur Springs, which is near Montana, which is almost the other side of America. It was a long distance away. But 58 acres, that's a massive amount. And there he set up like a weird retreat camp. And they built houses on it. It's very The Sinner season 2. Have you seen it?
No.
No, it's a bit like this. And but the police knew that it was dodgy there, that there was gun firing, complaints of child abuse, wild parties, and kids would just, they'd obviously take the children out there and they'd just be severely neglected, just roaming around, starving, begging, often beaten.
So do you think that these nuns were, do you think they were religious in their own cult and they were like, this is what we believe and we can have free love and da da da? Or do you think they were like, we are just pretending? Do you think they were just like, we just pretending to be nuns for other people?
Yeah, I think they were scared. I think he was domineering, and but then also there was a lot of child abuse going on, so they must have been sort of turning a blind eye. I mean, it said that in the house in Brooklyn where a lot of them lived, they actually found cages that the children had been locked into. So although they knew about this on this camp, because obviously they saw it in Brooklyn, it was all inside this building. So there was horrendous child abuse going on in both places. There were just ridiculous severe neglect. And I don't know if that was, you know, because you're going to be working for me and in the day you're begging and in the night you're prostituting yourself.
So these nuns are just basically slaves.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. So in 1968, police raided the camp and they found drugs. They found the place was complete squalor, but they didn't find anything that they could potentially pin to one person or arrest anyone for. So they kicked everyone out of the camp, but the next year the followers are back. So Legrand's army of people back, still returning every year to the camp, continuing this sort of deprived lifestyle. Now in New York, Legrand is driving around in his Cadillac, he wears tailored clothes, he's visiting casinos. So he's taking all this money for himself. He's not spending it on anyone under him, but he's making a fortune. If they're all out begging, and then he's pimping loads of them out, and he's got certain workers as well, I guess, who were sort of controlling things, he's making loads of money off these people. A bit like that con man guy that you did.
Oh, that Henry Freegard, yeah. Guy that was there.
But they all know about it in this case because they're all living together, whereas
it's basically organized crime, yeah. Isn't it? He's just like any other crime boss. He's just got his layers of, yeah, people working for him.
So two young members, and when I say young, I mean sort of 15, 16 year old girls of the cult, they just try and get out. They come forward and they testify against Legrand. But when they're called by the lawyer for testimony, for trial, they're gone. They've completely disappeared. And informants said the girls had been killed. And so the police attempt to find some evidence of this. So they didn't find anything at the Brooklyn house, but they go to the ranch and they dig up areas of the ranch in 1975, but they don't find anything. But they don't stop looking. So an investigation of the local lake is carried out and they find small bones and cartilage. And then when they go back to the house again, they find blood stains at the Brooklyn house. And they think, right, this is some evidence. So it takes time to process, obviously, all this evidence. There's further interviews with members of this cult, and through all this evidence, they're led to believe that Legrand has murdered up to 12 people. So some of them are his nuns, sort of, you know, slaves. Some of them are children that had been living there, and some of them are like sort of these workers of the church. So some guys who've been working for him as well. So obviously he's just, people get in the way, or people would say they're going to speak out, just murders them.
I wonder what their Sunday services were like.
Well, apparently the church was pretty shitty. Like, the bottom floor of this Brooklyn house was the church area, and it was just some fold-up chairs, nothing ornamental, nothing cute. Like, it didn't... Yeah.
I wonder how long you go on, like, preparing a sermon before you're like, this is bullshit, I'm not going to bother. Because there's a little bit of effort to put into it, or do you think you just got up and rambled? Like, it'd be really interesting, yeah. Yeah. I just wonder how much time do you put into that side of it?
I wonder what day-to-day was like for those women, because they must have known. I mean, he swans in with his tailored white suit and his Cadillac. They must have known this is bullshit. But I guess by that point, they're too scared to get out.
If you've already got, if you're pregnant or you have a child, or you know that he's killing people, yeah, then he'll do it to you
too. I think that's it. So he went to trial and he was found guilty of the murders of four people, and his son was also found guilty of the murders of four people. So they were both given 25 years in prison, and he died in prison. Now, it's interesting because this was in the 70s, and obviously it was fairly big news, but it's not something that's maybe talked about as much now. But in 2010, there was an article written that the church was still running and fake nuns are still going around begging around New York and still claiming that they're running an orphanage. There's no evidence there's an orphanage, but there's still children reported to be living there. And when they asked about kids' names that they knew were supposed to be living there when they went into the Brooklyn house, they were told about 9 of them were away at summer camp. So, I mean, that's pretty concerning. I don't know. That was in 2014. So I don't know if things have changed now, if it's gone. But I looked and looked, and it doesn't seem to be a lot of information about Legrand. And on YouTube,
I'm pretty sure nuns don't beg.
Yeah.
Like, legitimate charitable organisations don't just beg.
Well, I guess they... I mean, do they raise money in the street?
Yeah, but if you really want to donate, like, you can send it to somewhere else. You don't have to hand it to them.
Yeah, because they had photos of, they trailed one of the nuns down the street, and they said that she was in this black nun robe, raising money for an orphanage. And then 5 minutes later, she took it off. She's in a pink tank top, wandering down the road, going for a drink.
Oh, so they're not real nuns then? So they are just like, we are. So they know it's all a scam. They're not. They don't believe, like, we love Jesus, I'm a nun.
No, they know it's a scam.
They're just like, got it.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's still going on. I don't know if it's still there. If you look on YouTube, there's like loads of stuff that says, oh, it's a Legrand family.
They could be
family.
Listening to this right now. There'll be like a group of women sat around, I don't know.
Well, there must be loads of his offspring that are just, there must be loads of Legrands hanging around.
Ooh. All right. Hi, Legrands.
We better dash.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.